DW Africa Link.
It's the 27th January.
It's the 22nd January 2019.
Welcome to Africa Link
program. My name is Isaac. We are also live on our Facebook page. Feel free to join in the debate. Tell us what you think on the stories. Tell us what you think on the stories.
Coming up on the program, former Nigerian president for election. As Nigeria prepares for elections, as Nigeria prepares to go to the polls in a month's time.
My message to Nigerians is that go out and vote and safeguard.
Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission says
DW News.
I'm Shay Monkey with the DW News. The 49th annual World Economic Forum kicked off in the Swiss ski resort town of Davos on Tuesday. The 49th annual World Economic Forum kicked off in the Swiss ski resort town of Davos on Tuesday. Saying he would open up Brazil's economy to the outside world for more than two decades, and one of several co-chairs of the forum called on leaders to do more for those in need.
Today is an important day for the friendship between France and Germany.
The Treaty of Aachen is seen as an addition to the LSE Friendship Treaty, which was signed between the two countries in 1963. Nearly 6,000 Nigerians have sought refuge in Chad after clashes erupted between Nigerian government forces and armed groups in the northeastern border town of Baga. A UNHCR spokesperson said authorities are carrying out registrations to assist the newly arrived refugees. And finally, the European Union and African Union have backed the disputed president after tense polls, signaling that they would work with him after Congo, challenged the opposition candidate Martin Fayulu of Congo. For more news and information, visit our website at DW.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link with me, Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. As usual, we're live on
Facebook page, Nyambura.
And I'm Isaac Nzwelazi. As usual, we're live on our Facebook page, DW Africa, as well as our partner stations
across the continent. Let's begin today's program in Nigeria, where the build-up to the general elections has been marked by
Maybe we can find a solution.
I have been a refugee my whole life.
Problem. because
I don't want the next generation of refugees to suffer in camps.
I don't want the next generation of refugees to suffer in camps like the way I suffered.
One of the seven co-chairs at this year's World Economic Forum, speaking ahead of the summit.
Mohammed's flight certainly is part of the many issues being addressed here in Davos.
Boiling and threatened to go out of control.
Welcome back to the program, and for those joining us right now, this is DW's Africa Link program coming to live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. A warm welcome to all of you. I will just mention some of the names here. Mohamed Koneta saying thanks again, Mr. President. He's talking about the interview of Obasanjo, and we have Tafon there and Prince Chima. Many more of you, tell us what you think about these stories, because we have a lot lined up for you in the second part of the show. We will be hearing how women in Kenya have taken up managerial roles in the mining sector that was a preserve of only men.
You find people who don't expect a woman to be a potent shipping manager. When they come to visit and they have some issues and they ask for who is the potent shipping manager and I'm there, they expect to see somebody else.
This story will come in our Africa on the Move segment. Remember, we have other interesting stories that are lined up on our webpage. That is dw.com/Africa. We also want to welcome our listeners who are following us through our partner stations across Africa. Welcome to the program.
But first, before that, Isaac, let's go to Ghana. A new book about democratic practices on the African continent has been launched in the capital, Accra.
The book, titled Democracy Works, Rewiring Politics to Africa's Advantage, was authored by former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo and also the former finance minister of Zimbabwe, Tendai Biti. Now, Isaac Kalichi in Accra, that's DW's correspondent there, attended the launch of the book in Accra and sent in this report.
A Pan-African music to welcome guests at the launch of a book that pushes for the sustainability of democracy in Africa. In the book Democracy Works, Rewiring Politics to Africa's Advantage, the authors, former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo and former Zimbabwe Finance Minister Tendai Biti, argued that Africa could have achieved much economic success had many countries promoted and built strong democratic governance systems, as explained by Obasanjo himself.
30 years ago, to have election in any country in Africa would be almost a miracle. Whereas today, not to have election in any country would be unacceptable. So we shouldn't underrate what we have achieved. I say that a disputed election result which is resolved in a court of law is better than no election at all.
Since elections continue to be held across Africa with disputed results, in some many instances resulting in violence, Professor Greg Mills of the Brainthirst Foundation in South Africa told DW that they are not enough to deepen democratic systems in Africa, but having citizens that hold their leaders accountable is crucial.
I think citizens have to keep people honest. I think we've been a little bit too apathetic in Africa. I think we let politicians get away with stuff too much. We are too easily played between different constituent elements around race, around religion, around ethnic differences, for example, about regional differences. We probably need to become more assertive.
Ghana's Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, who attended the launch as a special guest, detailed how parts of the book provide lessons to enhance democracy in Africa.
Part 1 discusses the possible virtues of democratic rule by reviewing cases where attention to popular preferences and the establishment of countervailing institutions have allowed for constructive economic policy development. Part 2 analyzes the challenges to constructing African democracy in different transitional circumstances. And part 3 examines how elections can be made more free and fair.
The authors hope that the book will inspire young Africans to get actively involved in Africa's democracy.
Isaac Kalechi with that report.
Africa on the Move.
The mining industry in Africa has always been a male-dominated field. However, though, there have been positive steps which have helped to integrate women into the industry.
But in Kenya, the South Coast-based Tanium Company is setting the pace on gender inclusion by having 16% of women in managerial positions at its Kwale Mineral Sands project. Our reporter, Dana Wanyonyi, visited them and filed the following report.
clad in blue jeans and reflector jacket with neatly made curly hair, hidden in a yellow helmet, Alice Muringe is one of the senior geologists who also oversee technical services at the mining site. Her father motivated her to pursue this career.
My father was a geologist. I used to look at him go to work and I would say, this looks like a cool job. So when it came time to apply for a course at the University of Nairobi, I chose geology, partly because I wanted to be like my father and partly because my aunties and my mom encouraged me to be. And so I went, did my geology course, and that's how I started my career, basically. Geology is really just about what minerals do we have in our ore and what quantity of the minerals do we have. Is it economical? Is it not? And mine planning is majorly just how do we most efficiently get whatever mineral we are mining out of the ground.
Although she is mentoring young girls in her village to embrace sciences, she remembers how hard it was for her to break through this male-dominated field during her undergraduate studies.
In the university, I remember we were about 5 girls in the geology class, and it never seemed to us like something difficult to do, so we just did our course, went through our units, and we graduated. The biggest challenge is that there were not so many women in the mining industry at that time. And so on a daily basis, sometimes you have a difficult day and maybe you want to talk to someone like a mentor and just talk to them about your day and how did you get this through this part of your career. And that was difficult to find.
Another senior female manager is Ndalu Kialo. She has been instrumental in placing the company as the country's leading mining project. In 2017, her companies contributed $182 million to Kenya's exports, which represents 65% of Kenya's total mineral output value. But Kialo's biggest challenge are the clients who underestimate her.
You find people who don't expect a woman to be a potent shipping manager. When they come to visit, when they have some issues and they ask for who is the potent shipping manager and I'm there, they expect to see somebody else. And you can tell from their body language and from their look and tone, you can tell they are looking for someone else. So when you tell them, yes, you are looking at the potent shipping manager, they go like, okay, you can see their story. Not the words that are not said. So those are some of the challenges that, you have to go through them. But to me, I find it a bit interesting and it's what I have to deal with.
Although many young girls and women have potential to work in mining sector, lack of information is the major barrier. The Kenyan government has been challenged to meet the third gender rule as stipulated in the constitution.
I've had visitors who have come here and they wonder, exactly what did you study to take a role in shipping? That information, I believe personally, is lacking. Most of the people, probably even the women that are done shipping, are here in Mombasa because of the port. But when you go to out of Mombasa and, you know, to other areas of country, and some very few people know about it. The institutions, where do you go study? They're limited. If you have to really get some good institution to study, you have to do it probably out of the country.
Dana Wanyonyi with that report on women joining the mining sector in Kenya. Zippy, this is your home country. Tell us more about this story. How do you feel about it?
I am very happy that, Isaac, as you know what they say, what men can do, women can do better. Mm-hmm. And I like what these women are doing in mining and the fact that they are setting pace, even for the younger girls in the region.
Yes, somewhere one of the protagonists of that story says that when some clients come, they expect to see someone else and are surprised to see that it's a female manager there.
Yeah, that's a challenge. It's now the men have to pull up their socks because women are coming up.
I think also women have to prove that, hey, I'm in charge here, so that, you know, those perceptions of when a man comes to the company or walks into the door shouldn't think that there's a manager somewhere else and the woman there is just maybe like a personal assistant.
Yeah, you're right. That's the challenge.
Anyway, tell us what you think about this particular story by going to our Facebook page, DW Africa. Should more women join the mining sector or should it be more a preserve of the men?
Focus Europe.
And now we talk about a story many of you can stop talking about on our Facebook page, DW Africa. As we know, Italian Deputy Prime Minister Luigi Di Maio has reiterated that France's policies in Africa were creating poverty and causing migration hours after France summoned the Italian ambassador to Paris to protest his assertions.
Speaking to journalists, Di Maio criticized France for manipulating the economies and preventing development of 14 African countries that use the CFA franc, a colonial-era currency, which is underpinned by the French Treasury. Let's listen to Luigi Di Maio criticizing France.
Io non credo che sia un caso diplomatico.
I do not think it is a diplomatic case. I think that France, by printing money for 14 African states, is one of those European countries that has prevented their economic development and contributed to the fact that the refugees leave Africa and then die in the sea or arrive on our coasts. If Europe now wants to show some courage, it must have the strength to face the issue of the decolonization of Africa. I am tired of talking about the effects of migration. I want to start tackling the causes.
Di parlare degli effetti dell'immigrazione, voglio cominciare ad affrontare le cause.
That was Italian Deputy Prime Minister Luigi Di Maio. We are now joined by DW's Jorgen Mattes in Brussels, who will start by telling us why the Deputy Prime Minister of Italy would lash out at France.
Of course, for a number of years now, Italy has been frustrated with the kind of migration policy that the EU has. And the system is such that in the country where you arrive, that country is responsible for making sure your asylum process is started. And also, it is the country where you are meant to stay. And for frontline states like Italy that are facing a lot of migration coming over the Mediterranean from sub-Saharan Africa, this system is outdated. They have made the argument it needs to be reformed. They would like to see the relocation of refugees, but it is Eastern European states in particular that do not like it. And at the moment, there's an impasse in the European Union. The EU effectively is looking for a way forward, how to resolve this. Should a new refugee crisis start, there's still no exact answer how the problem of migration in Europe can be resolved.
Now, according to a recent report, Germany deported a record number of refugees to other EU states, and most of the asylum seekers were deported or sent to Italy. Could it be that Italy is increasingly becoming frustrated that the quota system has failed, with countries like Hungary not even taking in a single asylum seeker?
I think that's correct. It is the quota system that is not fully accepted and that causes problems. However, having said that, the people that have been returned from Germany to Italy are the ones that unilaterally decided to just move on. And that is against the official EU policy. But you're right. I mean, the entire problem is Italy is frustrated that there is no helping hand. They've been calling for years to the European Union to solve this problem. It is Greece, Italy, but also Spain, states that are on the front line that do need the solidarity of the rest of the club, and they need to find a solution that is viable also for the future.
I was speaking to DW's Georg Mathis in Brussels. Now we have many, many, many comments coming up on this story. Of course, it was a simple question to you. What you think of, you know, the Italian Prime Minister suggesting that EU should punish countries like France that impoverish Africa and prompt people to leave the continent. Zippy, kick it off.
Yes, Isaac, you are right. And I will go right away to the first one here, the Collins Perara, who says that was the best statement of the year. I think he's referring to Di Maio's statement, Africans should be in Africa, not at the bottom of the Mediterranean. And he says that is the best statement of the year. It's good. They themselves know that what France has been doing.
And Enoch Ongwara says, France may be a political power, but Italy is a religious one, and both have impoverished Africa.
And Chukwuemeadu Akalu says, not only France, even Britain is involved.
Yeah, there's so many comments coming in on this story. Esuka says, he's right, France should store off Africans. It's because of countries like France that Africans are sharing the same table with China. I mean, we're eating together.
Yeah, and I have one fun one here from Jolly Jang, who says the root cause of immigration is poverty caused or created by France and few European investors in Africa. So thank you very much for your comments. You can also go to our page, DW Africa. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe.
Bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.